I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest this hour has been with us before, and oh, has he gone to parts of the world that most of us will only see and learn about if we watch television shows like the one he's featured on tonight. Tonight on Animal Planet, Melting, Last Race to the Pole. Did you know that fewer than 50 people have made the dangerous journey to the North Pole, unsupported and unaided? Arctic is warming twice as fast as the rest of the globe, and the window to cross the ice is closing quickly. Eric Larson, Wisconsin's Eric Larson, is one of the world's most accomplished polar explorers, and he and Ryan Waters, a veteran extreme mountaineer, are featured in tonight's premiere, which goes on the air at 8 o'clock and runs till 10 o'clock on Animal Planet. It is a self-documented first-person account of their unaided expedition to the North Pole, and they may be the last people on Earth to ever complete the quest. Eric has been with us before. I believe the last time was when he was skiing the South Pole. He has been all over the world. He's been in some of the most remote and wild places left on Earth. He, in 2006, completed the first ever summer expedition to the North Pole and went to the South Pole in 2008. He's one of a few Americans to have skied both the North and South Pole. He also did the North Pole, South Pole, and climbed Mount Everest. He did all of that in a year. Can you imagine his holiday greeting card? Well, I did this year. Very eventful. This latest trek that he did, he said, was the hardest of all that he has done, and that's saying something considering all that he has done. Eric is with us this hour of the program, and we're welcoming phone calls for him. Some of you will be very familiar with what he has done, and we welcome your phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Eric, thank you very much for joining us once again. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. I watched your documentary, which airs tonight. I watched it last night. Oh, Eric, I was so worried for you. You seemed so calm, but I kept thinking of your wife and your child at home, and I knew you made it, but thinking, oh my gosh, what you went through. And I think you said at one point it was one of the hardest treks you've done.
Yeah, it was it's a physical and emotional roller coaster on the Arctic Ocean, you know, and the expedition to the North Pole, I consider the most difficult on the planet, and I had already done two prior expeditions, but traveling in the style in which we were, which is called unsupported, unaided, which means we're carrying all of our supplies, just adds a huge level of difficulty to the entire endeavor.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at how heavy those sleds were you were carrying, and then you ran into ice conditions that made it virtually impossible for one person to pull one sled. You had to double up.
Yeah. I mean, our sleds weighed 320 pounds at the start. And the Arctic Ocean is a really unique environment. The ice is moving constantly, and there's an overall drift to it as well. So it's actually moving south. But when it hits northern Canada, it doesn't have anywhere to go, and so it just buckles up and becomes very pressured. And so at the beginning of the expedition, when our sleds are the heaviest, the ice conditions from a surface factor are actually the worst. And so, you know, we would progress 1 or 2 miles per day. I think in the first 3 weeks, we averaged about 2.75 miles a day for 3 weeks. So it was a race of tortoises by far.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, as I was looking at the video on this, how in the world can you even tell where you are? Everything looks like it, the sky looks like the ice looks like the horizon. It all seems like one to me.
Yeah, it's a relatively arbitrary journey in the sense that a lot of the surface conditions look very similar. And especially in whiteout conditions where we can't see anything, there's no real frame of reference. And so I have a couple devices that I use. I have it's called DeLorme InReach. It's a two-way tracking satellite beacon with a GPS that we can check our positions. And then from that, we can get our bearing. And we actually use a compass to get our bearing kind of like hour by hour. And so in those whiteout rough conditions, we're kind of going generally in the northward direction. We're never really going in a straight line, but it's just giving us that reference point.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel, though, that you are losing your direction, that you're lost in space?
100%. I mean, in the whiteout conditions, you can't see the horizon. You can't even see the snow underneath your skis. It's like being on the inside of a ping pong ball. So it's hard to even just stand upright. So there were many times when we kind of, you know, head down trying to move forward, we would double check with our compass and we're going the wrong direction. So it's there's so many heartbreaking things that happen that it's hard to describe each one of those, but it's fun to now be sitting in a warm place and comfortably look back at them.
Right. And I think at one point you had to spend the day inside, there was such a bad storm, inside your tent, and it was this really kind of flimsy tent, and it was hard to tell with you nestled inside if you were inside or outside, because it still looked darn cold in there.
Yeah, I mean, the tent is an incredible safety net for us. We're traveling with that all the time, so anytime something severe, if something severe were to happen, we can always set up that tent, but it's two thin little layers of nylon, so there's not a lot that's really separating us from one of the most harsh environments on the entire planet.
Mm-hmm. So why did you go this route? No help from anyone, no airdrops, no dog teams, just you and the skis and the snowshoes and enough fuel and food for 3 months. That's a really hard way to travel, sir.
Yeah, actually a little less than 2 months. So we had 50 days of food. It is a hard way to travel. In my opinion, it's the hardest way to travel. In one sense, there's an aesthetic to that I really like, which is looking at these traditional adventures and trying to do them in unique and more challenging ways. And so for me, that's a really interesting problem to solve. But more importantly, like, this was my third trip to the North Pole. I'd been there. I understand firsthand what's happening to the climate, but really what my goal was to tell a story of this unique adventure that realistically I think may be the last of its kind in history. Mm-hmm. And so I started out, when Ryan and I started planning, my ultimate goal was to try to make a film to tell the story in a compelling way. I mean, I've been going back there and back there and back there. I feel a little like, you know, Don Quixote running into windmills or whatever. And people think I'm crazy, but the reason is because I know it's a unique adventure and it's a place that's really changing, but it's so far outside of people's imagination that unless you can put this kind of human drama behind it, there really isn't going to be the attention that it deserves or needs.
Mm-hmm. There are very few people. These figures are extraordinary. 50 explorers who have made it unaided to the North Pole in all of history, right? Only 50.
Yeah, it's and the last expedition that reached the North Pole was mine in 2010. But, you know, you compare that with Mount Everest, where over 6,000 people have summited Mount Everest, myself included. But you see that here's this really iconic adventure that so few people have ever done. And the reason is it's a very harsh environment. And simply just sitting in the tent is a difficult thing. Trying to navigate is a difficult thing. Trying not to get eaten by polar bears is a difficult thing. But that's also an opportunity, I think, for me, is to kind of accept this really difficult challenge, to be unique as an individual, but again, more importantly, to tell that story in a way that kind of hasn't ever been done before.
Mm. You say a couple really interesting, well, you say a lot of interesting things, but the psychological journey, and at one point you're thinking pretty heavily about what you have left behind and kind of questioning yourself, I left my child, I left my wife behind, why in the world am I doing this? And then you reach which you describe quite vividly, a survival mode where everything is left behind, you just want to live.
Yeah, and surprisingly, it happens, like, when I look back to all my adventures, like, right around that day 40 mark. And it's almost, you know, I kind of say one of the best ways to be successful is to put yourself in a situation where you don't have another choice. And that's what happens in that situation. We're in it. We're physically and mentally drained, but we still have a lot of distance to cover. And any sort of other energy that saps away from our focus and unfortunately, like, thoughts of family, thoughts of comfortable things, a warm bed, a nice meal, those have zero utility. And so you just have to push them back and you become singularly focused on achieving the goal, because to not do that means you're not going to survive. And that's kind of, it's not a conscious thing. I think it just happens because we don't have another choice.
Mm-hmm. And this one was really scary at one point, and you can see and fill us in on how much thinner the ice is, but at one point Ryan falls through the ice because it's fairly thin in an area where it hasn't been as thin, and he could have died of hypothermia.
Oh, yeah, we got very, very, very lucky that Ryan is still with us today, and he's a tough guy. But he fell through the ice up to his chest and managed to get out. It was scary for both of us. I mean, more so for Ryan, but I was very close to him, unable to reach him because the ice was so thin. And so I just helplessly watched as he kind of struggled and was able to pull himself out and then get onto a safe chunk of land, ice, where then he had to go across another thin section of ice, fall through again, and then pull himself out. But it was a sunny day. It wasn't windy. The temperatures were probably, 20 or 30 below. And so we were able to get Ryan out of his clothes and change his dry clothes very quickly. But we're traveling in a very narrow margin of safety, and it doesn't take much to push the scales in either in a negative direction. And even just stopping for a little snack break, 2 minutes, and our body core temperatures are already lowered very quickly.
Eric Larson, who is from Wisconsin, is our guest. He is going to be featured tonight on Animal Planet in an absorbing, captivating is the word of today, documentary, Melting: Last Race to the Pole. Fewer than 50 people in history have made the journey to the North Pole, and Eric has already done this journey 3 times. But the ice is changing. The evidence of global warming is all over the place, and it makes it a much more difficult journey. In fact, they may be, he and his partner Ryan, who is an extreme mountaineer, may be the last human beings to be able to make this trip because of global warming. So we're talking about his adventure, and we'll talk more about what evidence he's seen of warming as we continue. And we'll welcome phone calls. Our phone number, if you'd like to join us, is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and we are also right now in our year-end membership drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Your financial support is the foundation for all of these discussions you enjoy on the Ideas Network every single day. So please make your gift right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hello, Lisa.
So last hour, we heard from 15 listeners. Thank you so much. No, I think I have that number wrong. We heard from 20 listeners.
Oh, my.
Thank you so much. And also, by the way, we made our member match last hour. So thank you so much for all of your support. We have a new hour with a new goal, and that is 15 pledges by 3 o'clock. And these goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for all the programs you tune into every single day. Help us meet that goal right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about the course of a day here on the Ideas Network. All of these different guests, different perspectives, all these different conversations. You probably find yourself starting conversations with yesterday on WPR. I know I do that probably too much, but I do that, and people are interested. It's time to take action if you're one of those people to participate in making this show happen with your support. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And when you take that action, you can do something extra special. During this holiday season, we have something really special going on when you support Wisconsin Public Radio. Your donation makes the programs you love possible. And you can ask for food for $20 when you give $60 or food for $40 when you give $120.
These thank you gifts provide meals to people who are hungry in your area through regional food banks. So you can do 2 good things at once, and they're really good things. Give to WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I like the idea of being able to call in or hear other people's call-ins. I think some of the shows on public radio that got me asking, wait a minute, and suddenly I had a political awakening. My name is Ray from Eau Claire, and when I hear a program featuring a new author or a new book on WPR, it puts me first in line to run to our library to get that new book.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and we are asking for your pledge. $5 a month, $100 a month, we really do appreciate, and we need your gifts.
That's right. Maybe you've never given before, but let's say you get energized or just really excited when you're starting to turn that radio on to go to WPR.org or WPR on your radio station. I would take that as a sign that it's probably time to donate, and because it simply means that Wisconsin Public Radio is really important to you.
And you're important to us. We are listener-supported radio, so we count on financial support from people like you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something special every day. So your gift of $5 a month or whatever amount, it makes a difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And sometimes you want to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, but you're just not within arm's reach of a radio. That's okay, because you can also listen online from anywhere in the world.
At WPR.org, you check out information about your favorite shows or guests you've heard. You can listen to audio archives of past programs. It's your pledge that helps support all of those services.
And do you know what another thing you can do at WPR.org is, Kathleen?
What, Lisa?
You can make your donation right now.
Hey, hey, hey. Okay.
So, WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And it just takes a few minutes of your time. You have to just say what your name is, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay. And you can give in one lump sum. You can become a monthly sustainer. Use the next few minutes to support the station that you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
When you pledge, you'll be adding your voice, your support, to the 50,000 members. 50,000, Kathleen, who support Wisconsin Public Radio every single year. Your contribution of any amount is pooled with these other 50,000 members, and it makes up the largest single piece of our budget.
Sure does. And we use that money to bring you great programs every single day. Make your pledge right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
So we have about 35 minutes left of the show, and we're looking for 10 more pledges. So let's make that happen. Your gift right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And remember, you can do two good things at once. This is really terrific. Ask for food for 20 when you give $5 a month, food for 40 when you give $10 a month at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And when you call to make your pledge, really consider becoming a sustainer. It's really easy to set up these convenient ongoing monthly donations from maybe your bank account or your credit card, and do that at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
A member from Madison says it all. There's nothing like Wisconsin Public Radio. I listen all day and well into the evening.
Aw, thank you so much. So your gift is powerful. It makes a difference. Just become a member right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Lisa. Eric Larson is our guest. Eric has been on incredible adventures, skiing the South Pole three times now, the North Pole, climbing Mount Everest. The last journey that he made, probably the most dangerous because of what's happening to the Arctic ice. And it was harrowing. And it's going to be featured tonight on Animal Planet. It's a documentary because Eric and Ryan, who went on this expedition with him, filmed what they were experiencing. And it's just remarkable. It's hard to believe they put themselves in this, in what they were in and all they had to encounter. And it also documents what is happening to the Arctic, where people won't be able to make these kinds of expeditions probably 20 years from now. And the planes that are dropping them off will no longer be picking them up or dropping them off or making rescues because it's simply too dangerous. So we're welcoming phone calls for Eric. Our number on air is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And let's start some calls with Willie in Madison. Hi, Willie.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you. I have two questions not related to each other. The first one is the criterion for, a trip like you made. You were out of, Eric, you were out of contact out of radio or any other contact, or did you have some communication? I guess I want to compare it to the trip that Liv Arneson and Anne Bancroft from Minneapolis made to the South Pole some years back as a pair. They did have some communication, although they carried all of their stuff.
Did you have communication, Eric?
Yeah, we did, and that's an important question. You know, as we look at the kind of state of exploration today, what kind of us in the adventure, we in the adventure community had to do is set out some sort of rules of adventure, and so we can kind of gauge how we're doing these things. And so the standard now is that communication is status quo, and so we're in regular contact, and as kind of funny as it may seem, at times I'm, you know, sending out a blog post every day. I'm updating my Facebook page from the ice. I'm sending out tweets from the ice. I work with a really great web guy. He runs a company called Web Expeditions in Minneapolis, and he set me up with a pretty amazing program that allows me to do that through my sat phone. And I also have a my kind of DeLorme and Reach that sends out tracking points, and so people can actually follow where I am on a map. And so we're very connected, and in one sense, for me, that's a huge part of what my mission is. Obviously, the film, the Animal Planet film, is important, but my goal is to engage people in these experiences as they're ongoing and kind of witness our ups and downs. The negative side of that, it takes a lot of work and effort, and to be typing out a little blog post on our small little computer and sending it through a satellite phone at the end of the day is hard. It's difficult, not only just physically doing it, but also bringing all the equipment and making sure it works for that amount of time in that environment.
Well, it must be. You're exhausted at the end of a day after trying to get through thin ice and for a good portion of the journey, carrying, losing all of the time because you had to go back because you were doing sleds. I mean, it was just so rigorous.
Yeah, it was hard. And, you know, the interesting thing to me is there was never one moment where we thought we were actually going to achieve our goal of getting to the North Pole. And when I was watching the film, the first edit, I was wondering what was going to happen, and I was there. So the film, I feel like, does a really good job at kind of bringing you along with where we are at the moment.
Absolutely.
But on day 40, which, again, we had 50 days of food and fuel and then 5 days of emergency supplies. But on day 40, we're still over 200 miles from the North Pole, a little less than halfway. Hmm. And so we just were continuously battling against these odds. And at that point, we basically had to double our time that we were traveling and cut our sleep back in half. And that was a point where the communications really stopped with a lot of other people, and we were just kind of at a minimum, just survival mode, basically.
You were in constant light then, weren't you?
By that time, yeah. You know, when we start, the sun is just coming above the horizon. But in that area, or the Arctic Ocean, that time of year, we're gaining roughly 15 minutes of daylight per day as the Earth circles around the sun, tilting on its axis. And by the end of the expedition, we're in 24-hour daylight. So we were basically not traveling on any sort of, you know, clock Wisconsin time, but just as we needed to travel, we were traveling.
Let's talk a little bit about polar bears. There are some polar bears that are on the TV tonight that you saw, and you have to be careful of them. And we worry about their fate as well, but they don't go after humans, but their food source has been diminished, right? So there's a greater worry on your part?
I mean, the polar bears are the primary predator out there, and so for us, you know, skiing or snowshoeing or sometimes swimming across the ice, if they see us, they're going to try to figure out if we're food.
Mm.
So we did have a very close encounter with a couple polar bears. I don't want to spoil it too much, but as far as the bears are concerned, they're in a pretty dire situation because they actually live and hunt on the sea ice. They spend so much time on the ice and in the ocean that they're classified as marine mammals. And so the less sea ice there is, the less ability they have to be able to hunt their primary food, which is seals. And so if you look farther south, like in Hudson Bay, there's already been some dramatic reduction in the populations there. And it's just a matter of time before farther north, there will be kind of those equally problematic climate conditions that greatly reduce their numbers.
How do you keep them away from you, Eric?
Think positive, hope for the best.
Right.
You know, it's funny because a lot of these situations, our line is, you know, you just can't think about it too much. Because
right.
if you start dwelling on all these potential hazards, you won't even get out of the tent or you know, leave our comfortable homes. But in the situation, we do carry some protective measures. We have these small little pencil flares that we carry. And then we also bring a shotgun, and I load that with these bear scare shells. And that's kind of a final means of defense.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about what you saw for a while, because amazingly, I can't believe I'm speaking to somebody who skied and swam and trekked to the North Pole three times. I mean, it's just amazing. But what did you see this go around? What evidence did you see of a thinning ice of an Arctic that's changing pretty rapidly and dramatically?
I think there is a lot of evidence. And, you know, as you mentioned, like, I've been to the North Pole three times. I spent 6 months of my life camped on the Arctic Ocean. And so I have a unique perspective of
yes.
this boots on the ground firsthand from 2006 in our first trip to 2014. And overall, you see just the character and the nature of the ice is different. You know, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a politician. And these are just the things that I've seen. And so you see this kind of overall thickness of the ice is much less. It's thinner ice. What we saw in 2006 are these big flat pans and then a big pressure ridge and then a big flat pan of ice that it would take us 2 miles to ski across. And that thicker ice is stronger, and so it doesn't break up as much. And what we saw in 2014 is we just have a continuously more rough surface. And so as we see this thinner ice, as those winds and tides and currents push it around, it breaks up more easily, and we just see overall very rough pressured conditions. And then you have, I mean, warmer temperatures, less stable weather. I mean, when we started this year, it was about minus 30. In 2010, it was minus 55.
Ooh.
And just less stable weather. And you also have this kind of quote-unquote spring breakup happening much earlier. And so the ice kind of reaches this critical point where it just becomes less stable. And that was happening to us right around the end of April. And so these are just a few of the many examples that I could go through about of just kind of the changing ice conditions that I've seen in the past several years.
Mm-hmm. And everybody can see more of that tonight when you look at their expedition on Animal Planet. It's well worth a view. I mean, how many adventure stories that really have a message for all of us do we see these days? Eric has made the trip to the North Pole three times now. He did. I love to say this because how many guests do I have? He went to the South Pole and the North Pole, skied it. Yeah, I mean, we're not talking a little trip. We're talking almost 500 miles to get to the North Pole and climbed Mount Everest, and he did the whole thing in the same year. So this expedition, which he and his partner were not sure they were going to be able to finish because of the conditions and the melting ice and the storms, and it's something to see. But they did, and so we're talking about why they did it and what they saw and how they're seeing the Arctic change, and they see it from a perspective that, I mean, 50 people in history have seen. Not many people have seen this. We're welcoming phone calls for Eric. We'll take more in a moment. 800-486-8655 is our number. This is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Excuse me, I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and this also happens to be our year-end membership drive. So if you've put off donating to WPR in 2015, now is the time to take some action. If you have given or if you're a sustainer, consider a special year-end gift. It just takes a few minutes. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Lisa.
We're looking for 7 pledges and let's see, 20 minutes to stay on track this hour. Your support keeps this station strong. Help pay for the Kathleen Dunn Show with your gift right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
We love our jobs. We like to bring you 2 great hours of radio from 1 to 3 Monday through Friday. We talk with adventurers like Eric Larson, who happens to be from Wisconsin, all kinds of books, lots of history, politics, education. We're here with important topics for you.
That's right. And we can't do any of this without your support right now. Listener contributions make up about 40% of our budget. That's a ton. And that's why we're asking for your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We ask you to think about becoming a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Once you set up a comfortable monthly amount from your bank or credit card, your support goes right to work on the programming that you appreciate.
That's right. And because your sustaining donation automatically renews every year, your support will always be current. And you don't have to wonder, oh gosh, is it time to pledge? Did I already pledge? Because it's always current. It's right there. Become a sustainer right now. You can also do that online. Think about maybe $5 or $10 a month. You do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One of the nice things about public radio is that it is commercial free, and that means that we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, and corporate funding are important.
Yeah, they really are. But, you know, we've said this before, we'll say it again. The single largest piece of the budget, the single largest piece comes from you. Your support makes all the difference. It's the like the backbone of our funding. So make your pledge right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
This is what your kids sound like when you don't listen to public radio.
You're looking at me.
No, no.
Yes, you are.
No, no.
Yes, you are.
And this is what your kids sound like when you do listen to public radio.
You're looking at me.
No, no.
Yes, you are.
No, no.
Yes, you are.
No, no.
Okay, they might not get it now, but kids who grew up listening to public radio often end up listening to public radio as adults. Invest in their future learning. Donate today. Your kids will thank you later.
Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this year-end membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian asking for your support of WPR. $10 or $15 a month, whatever you can give, we thank you for it.
And when we're asking for your support, we really are speaking to you. Yes, yes, you out there right now.
Don't look over your shoulder. Mm-mm. Don't look at your neighbor or friend or coworker or fellow traveler on the Arctic ice. You are listening right now. You value this program and you rely on it being here for you.
You count on us every day, and right now we're really counting on you. Listener support is what makes the Kathleen Dunn Show possible. It's what makes all of the programs on WPR possible. You're a listener. Make your pledge right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm certain that the programs that you hear on WPR make a difference in your life. You're listening now. It's a good bet that you listen every single day. During this year-end membership drive, we are asking you to put your money where you listen, where your values are.
Mm-hmm. Each year, listeners who value public radio give what they can to support Wisconsin Public Radio. If you're already a member, thank you so much for making Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you're not a member yet, today's the day. Contribute right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here at Wisconsin Public Radio, you get information about events in our region and the world. You hear about great adventures like the one Eric keeps taking. Mm-hmm. You also get music. You get humor. You get storytelling.
You'll want a lot of news and information in 2016, and your support right now makes that all possible. Your pledge in any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So, Lisa, we need seven more pledges in about 20 minutes. So help out now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And for this holiday season, when you support Wisconsin Public Radio, you're able to give something extra back to your community. Ask for food for 20 when you give $5 a month, or food for 40 when you give $10 a month. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day that you might increase your support of WPR by $5 a month. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We have a member from Minocqua who says, for all the Netflix accounts and $5 daily coffees we gobble up without blinking an eye, supporting WPR really is an affordable, necessary and intelligent way to make a monetary contribution to society. Well said.
Very nice. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Thank you, Lisa. Eric Larson's remarkable journey, third journey to the very changing North Pole, a journey that's incredibly dangerous, is with us, and it will be shown on television because he documented this last walk. It's on the Animal Planet, and it's on tonight, actually. So we're speaking with Eric now, and Eric is from Wisconsin. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Eric Larson is with us now. We welcome phone calls you may have for him about his latest journey, important journey. 800-486-8655 is our number. And Deborah, thanks for waiting in Brown Deer. Hi.
Hi, my pleasure. Hi, Eric. I would like to ask you two questions. I wanted to know what kind of childhood you had. Did you have a lot of freedom to explore? And the second, have you seen this video? I haven't seen it in a while. It was on public TV called Touching the Void.
Yeah, so I grew up in Cedarburg, and I'm always grateful for growing up in Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin. And, you know, we might not have mountains or, you know, big waterfall and whitewater rivers, but we've got really good winters. And I think that was some of my first real winter activities, obviously, were as a kid sledding in my backyard. But my dad was the director of River Edge Nature Center in Newburgh, so I definitely spent a lot of time out there as well as family canoe trips. But, you know, as soon as I got old enough, I was out. I was a very avid bicyclist. And so by the time I was in 7th and 8th grade, I was just grabbing a map and going, and that was kind of my first explorations. As far as Touching the Void, yes, I have seen it. It's an incredible documentary about a kind of tragic accident in the Andes of two British climbers.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much. And there were, you kept running into people, there were not very many, but there was a team from Norway, I think, and Ireland, and then a solo Japanese explorer, and they all had to give up. Did that discourage you as you were trekking along to the North Pole, Eric?
You know, it's hard. You want to be supportive of the other teams. We surprisingly ran into the Japanese skier, which is about a 1 in 100,000 chance that we would have.
Yeah.
Just because he had left earlier than we had. The ice conditions, you know, for every decision you make, that changes your course, and it was miraculous that we crossed paths with him on the day that he was basically giving up. But it's bittersweet. You know, you want to wish success for everybody else. In one sense, it kind of like steals your reserves a little bit in the sense that you need to just keep pushing forward. And it does give you a little bit of a mental boost without kind of, belittling their efforts, just in the sense that other people understand how hard it is out there, and it was so hard that they couldn't continue. And for you to still be out there is a little bit of a boost.
Do you think that you will be the last people on Earth to have accomplished this trek?
Yes, I do. We called our expedition Last North, and I still think that the ice is physically passable to do this land-to-pole journey. The problem is the logistics has basically shut down, and the company that we hired to fly us to the start and to the finish and pick us up at the pole basically ceased expedition support for a variety of reasons, one of which the conditions are just less stable and less safe for flying. Mm-hmm. And so that's the main reason at this moment. But, you know, it doesn't take much of a stretch to look 5 years or 10 years into the future and know that the ice conditions will just be completely impassable. But as it stands right now, 2015, there were no expeditions that even started.
Really?
Yes, and that's because of that logistics window shutting down. And so realistically, our expedition will be the last ever to go from land to the North Pole in this style. And that's it's a really bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah, it is a bitter pill. It just gives you pause. What did your wife and your child think about this? I mean, this must be really hard for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard for everybody. I mean, we joke that we're on two separate expeditions, and Maria, my wife, becomes a single parent, and that's not easy, just trying to make all those decisions in which we're normally a team. And so it's hard. We've been together long enough that she understands this is part of who I am, and it's important to me. And for me, thinking about my family, being able to talk about these issues and bring these stories to a global audience is really important. And I want my son and my daughter to know ICE like I know it. And so in that sense, we both understand what's happening, and she's very supportive, but it's not always easy.
I'm sure. At one point in the film, Eric, you say, and I want you to respond to this on the air now, is this really important? Does this mean anything? You say this in the middle of the Arctic, and there you are on the ice asking yourself these questions. How do you answer those questions now?
Yeah, it's a tough one, man. It makes me pretty emotional just thinking about it right now. And the thing about those trips is when you separate out everything from your life that you have and just down to the bare essentials, food and a sleeping bag and your snowshoes, pretty quickly you understand what's important to you. And, you know, even this trip, which is a huge part of my passion, my life, it pales in comparison to the role that my family plays in my life. And so it's hard, and you know, I always say self-doubt is my constant companion on adventures, because you're dealing with a lot of these things that you don't necessarily have a lot of control over, and purposely putting yourself in these very dangerous, life-threatening situations can be very mentally taxing, and it's hard for me. And at a certain point, it becomes very clear what the most important thing is, and it's not an expedition.
Mm. Does that mean you're giving up on them?
No. No, it's funny because I am pulled in two exact opposite directions, and I'm very passionate about my family and spending time with them, and I'm very passionate about these adventures and telling these stories. And when you push yourself to the extreme limits time and time again, you start to realize that there is a way to get through it. And it's always hard, but it's also empowering once you kind of reach that point. And Ryan and I were actually on another adventure in Nepal, and I felt those exact same things. We were on this knife edge ridge, climbing a mountain that had never been climbed before at 20,000 feet. The weather was blowing in. The snow was just crazy. I have a video on my YouTube page of it. And I thought, I'm just like, what am I doing here? And, you know, we pushed through. We ended up summiting this peak. I got back home. I'm like, so relieved to get back home. A week later, I emailed Ryan. I'm like, I can't wait to go out again.
Oh, Eric.
So I'm in these two places in my life that are in direct opposite to one another, but hopefully they both support one another, because when I'm home, I'm able to give a lot of my time to my family, and also I do feel that these trips are very important to the to the preservation of the health of our planet and
right.
and my kids' future.
Yeah. And people have to take notice when they look at what the two of you have done. It has to be noticed, because there you are. Not many people have done this. You're seeing what you're seeing, and it's in your sights are important for everybody to know about.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, there's a lot that I hope people get out of this, and I hope people are educated about what this environment is like and how it's changing. I hope they're inspired. You know, I'm from Wisconsin. Like, I was the slowest kid on my soccer team. I mean, I'm not this, like, crazy athlete. And so I hope people are inspired that we all have the ability to do these incredible things, whatever they are. And then ultimately, I also hope people are entertained. I mean, I think there's a huge role for us to have fun and enjoy things. And I hope our story and our film is very entertaining. I think it's unlike anything else that's on TV now.
Yes, right.
Because it's not a fake situation. It's not an arbitrary group of people put together to create conflict. Ryan and I are two good friends trying to accomplish a very hard goal, and hopefully the story is honest and sincere.
It is indeed, and it's extraordinary because of the few number of people who have done what the two of you did. I thank you so much, Eric, for being with us. I hope a lot of people watch tonight. It's really gripping. It really is. It's just, I can't believe you've done this. You must think that about yourself, too. I can't believe I've done this three times.
Yeah. It was an incredible journey. I'm really appreciative of the opportunity to share my story with everybody in Wisconsin. You know, the Midwest is such an important part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And for people who want to continue the conversation, I'll be live tweeting and answering questions throughout the show
tonight. Great.
with the hashtag melting and also the hashtag last race. So hopefully we can kind of continue this great conversation.
Great. Thank you so much, Eric, for being with us. The show is on Animal Planet. It is tonight at 7 o'clock. Eric is a Wisconsin guy, grew up in Cedarburg, and he goes on these incredible adventures, and this one is important just for the physical endurance of him and his partner, but also because of documentation in a very personal way and hard-to-document way and treacherous way of what's happening with global warming to the Arctic. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and this is also our year-end membership drive on Wisconsin Public Radio. You count on us to have talk of all kinds of issues, you know, even issues like this one. How many people will talk about something like this? It's an extraordinary adventure. We count on you to keep these discussions on the air. So your gift right now makes a huge difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We're looking for just a few more pledges in the next few minutes. So give to WPR to support the programs you rely on. And thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is right now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Eric Larson, just with us, a trip that will not be done again in human history to the North Pole in a very short period of time, incredible conditions, and documenting global warming. It's an hour of important hour and fascinating. Mm-hmm. Take a few minutes to make this kind of radio possible and choose a gift that is okay for you and make your pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And when you go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552, remember you can do two really cool things when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio right now. Your donation will, of course, support the programs you rely on. And also, ask for Food for 20 when you give $5 a month, or Food for 40 when you give $10 a month.
These thank you gifts provide meals to people who are hungry in your area through regional food banks. It starts with your gift, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I'm Sam from Madison, and my husband and I are sustainers of WPR. Wisconsin Public Radio is really my main source for global news and community news. My husband and I like being sustainers because I don't have to think about the contribution that I write out. It's automatic. And when I hear appeals on the radio, I already feel good. Like, yes, I made my donation and I'm making it monthly, so I don't have to think about it. I think it's critical that my husband and I support Wisconsin Public Radio and the programming that they broadcast. We really are lucky to live in this community, and I only want to make it stronger. So I hope you'll join me in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio as a sustaining member.
Pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian. We are asking for your support of WPR. It's our year-end membership drive. We'd like to get two more pledges, and then we'll actually, we'd like to get more than that. But two so that we're on goal. If we get more than that, we'll feel like we are closer to the North Pole. When you listen to WPR, you can be assured that we are always having your interests at heart.
That's right. We can continue to serve you and your community because of the support we receive from members, including more than 600 members of the 9XM Leadership Circle. And those folks support WPR with gifts of $1,200 or more every single year, which breaks down to about $100 a month. Make this leadership right now. Make this leadership gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You're not alone when you listen to us. You might be alone in your car, home, or in your office, but you're sharing this experience with us and with other listeners.
We have so much in common. We have these values that really connect us. Your support helps all of us share the cost of WPR programs. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listeners make the programs worthwhile, but members make the programs possible.
That's right. You get all of these great shows, these great programs, these great listener experiences because members kick in a large portion of WPR's budget, the single largest part. Become a member right now. Help make WPR possible with your gift of $5, $10, $15 a month, any amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Two pledges to go, Lisa, mm-hmm. and we just have less than a minute to get them. Your gift really will help. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Again, how do they pledge?
WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Lisa. Lisa Labandian, thanks to Scotty Myers for producing the show. Thanks to KP Whaley. And thanks to Katie Madsen Cyrus for all her help. And thanks to Adam Raskey.